take your New Testament and turn to the Gospel in Luke in the 5th chapter. That's where we'll begin our study, Luke chapter 5. And if you would, begin reading with me at verse 1. Luke chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." But Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." We just concluded a series of studies from the epistles of Peter, talking about things that Peter identified as precious. If you remember, in 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter was writing that epistle, Peter said in verse 1, "To those who have obtained like precious faith." And we identified the fact that faith is precious and of great value because of who it's in, that our faith is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Then we identified the fact that faith is precious because so few have it. And an individual that puts their faith in God and recognizes that by faith one can be justified, as is taught in Romans 5:1, one can be sanctified, as is taught in John 17:17, and that one can be adopted, as is taught in Galatians 3, that faith is very important. So what I'd like for us to do this evening is to examine four different occasions in the life of Peter to observe the faith of this man. And each time we observe this man, I want you to take note that events occur on a sea in a boat with Jesus nearby. Anytime that you examine the faith of an individual, it's important we get a clear understanding of what we're discussing. And one definition of faith that I found helpful to me is to look at what I call the ABCs of faith. And how I want us to identify faith tonight is looking at the first letter of these three words. Faith is an action. That's the A of the word. Faith is an action based on a belief. That's the B. Faith is an action based on a belief sustained by confidence. That's the C. So tonight, if you can get that in your line of thought, it will help us in our study. Faith is an action that's based on a belief sustained by confidence. And I want to direct your attention to the faith of Peter. If you have your Bible, go back to the book of Luke and the 5th chapter. And notice this is one occasion. Jesus is teaching the multitude. Here it is in the morning sun, the sun cascading over the Galilean mountains, reflecting off the water as Jesus is teaching the people. And there you see Peter, James, and John, and Andrew, and others who had fished all night and caught nothing. And there they are washing and mending their nets. And if you notice in your Bible, Jesus uses the boat and he preaches to the people on the seashore. I've often tried to picture in my mind Jesus sitting in that little boat and the multitudes pressing in to hear as he proclaimed about the kingdom of God. Then you'll remember that Jesus tells Peter that he needs to take the boat and launch out into the deep. I want you to stop for just a moment and notice that Peter's faced with a decision. Here is a man identified as Peter who was a professional fisherman. And now a carpenter is telling him, "Go out into the deep and let down your net." Now I could recognize three or four reasons why Peter wouldn't want to do that. First, Peter would have been discouraged. He'd already fished all night and caught nothing. Second, it would be inconvenient. The nets were already being mended and washed. He's already brought in the equipment. Third, he would have been tired. He'd already fished all night and had caught nothing. So here it would be an individual who had been doing that which would make preparations for the next day. He recognized he didn't bring in any fish. He didn't have anything to take to market. He didn't have anything to sell to make money. And so that individual was preparing for the next day's work. But then I want to tell you, he ran the risk of being belittled. Can you imagine the other fishermen looking at Peter saying, why is he going out here in the daytime? Everyone knows you catch fish in the shallow water at night, not in the deep in the daytime. And yet he listened to the carpenter from Nazareth. But look at what he says in verse 5. He says, at thy word. He said, I'll listen. And notice what else he said. I'll let down the net. It's interesting. Jesus had said nets, but Peter said net. And notice though that by that faith that man put the net in the water. And look at what happened to that man. Had he even taken the nets, it wouldn't have been enough because boats, plural, couldn't contain the catch they had. And so I recognize that by faith, Peter obeyed. Peter did exactly what the Lord said in that he went out into the deep. And that man put down the net, and that man made a great catch. Now I recognize it's one thing to have faith in a boat in the daytime. But take your Bible and look, if you will, in the book of Mark and the 4th chapter. And notice that Peter's going to go to school of faith a second time. And this is going to be a tougher test. In the book of Mark and the 4th chapter, notice, if you will, verse 35. When Jesus had said to them on the same day when evening had come, let us cross over to the other side. And when they left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. Now watch it. In verse 37, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. When we left this morning and you saw the yard next door and you saw all the water, some of us said, look at that. But could you imagine being on a little boat and the boat beginning to fill up? And I want to tell you that there would be people that were very concerned. And notice that they became fearful. And notice in 38, Jesus was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care? We are perishing. Now watch 39. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Oh, I want you to get that in your heart for just a moment. Can you imagine being on that sea and the water's coming in, the wind is blowing, and they're fearful of capsizing, they're fearful of the boat going down, they're fearful of dying. And they wake Jesus and said, do you not care? Do you not recognize that we are perishing? And then when Jesus said, peace, be still, notice the wind ceases and the calmness of that night. But look at what Jesus said in verse 40. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? Oh, underscore in verse 40 the statement of Jesus. How is it that you have, watch it, no faith? Notice he said, you do not trust, you do not believe, you've not put your confidence in what I've said. You've already seen the miracles. And it's interesting, this happened in verse 31, when Jesus had told them to have the faith of what? A mustard seed. He said, a mustard seed's a little seed. He said, it is smaller than all seeds on the earth. And he said, you've got to have at least that much faith. But if you note in chapter 4, Jesus rebuked them. After he rebuked the wind and the waves, he looked at them and said, how is it you have no faith? Oh, I would that we'd get that. It's one thing to have faith in the daytime when we're in a boat and the water's calm. But it's another thing to believe that God is still with me and that God still cares for me when the storms come. But then if you take your Bible, you want to look at the graduate level of Peter's faith. Look, if you will, in the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter. If you will, look in the book of Matthew in the 14th chapter. Now, we've identified it's one thing to have faith in the daytime, in the calm. And it's another thing to have faith at night in a storm. But notice this time he's going to take it a step. Notice they're in another storm. I've often thought about these fishermen. They get caught up in a lot of storms. They're always on the sea, and it always seems like some wind comes. And here they are, and I've heard that on Galilee, that the mountains around that sea cause a great whirlwind to come. And here you see many times at night, great storms. And notice here, it says in verse 24, the apostles there in the middle of the sea. And again, they're tossed by the waves. The wind is contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. Now, can you imagine that? Not a one of us has ever seen anyone walk on water. But can you imagine seeing someone walk on water in the midst of a great storm? Here you're trying your best to just get the boat to shore, and you're rowing and the wind is contrary, and you look out and you see someone walking on waves that are just being tossed to and fro. And when the disciples walking on the sea, they were troubled, and notice their fear. It's a ghost. Now sometimes we say, well, what's their problem? I want to tell you something. We've been in that boat. We might have said the same thing. Sometimes we act like we got it all together. We'd just be like this. And then notice, immediately Jesus spoke to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Now watch Peter. He said, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him, and said to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now then, notice, if you will, this occasion. Notice that Peter got out of the boat. Sometimes we look at Peter and say, "Oh, but Peter began to sink." Yet, my friend, how many of us are still in the boat? And here, notice that Peter begins to walk, and he is walking on water. Have you ever thought, besides Jesus, that's the only other individual that's ever walked on water? And here's Peter walking towards the Lord. Here's Peter, by faith, walking to Christ. And then he sees the wind becoming boisterous. He becomes afraid. He begins to sink. But I love what he says, "Lord, save me." Notice he doesn't call for the other disciples. They're the ones in the boat. You would think he would want them for safety. He calls to the right one, "Lord, save me." And watch what Jesus says. He stretched forth his hand and caught him. You ever had that picture in your mind of Jesus just reaching out and grabbing the arm of Peter? And notice the statement, "Oh, you of little faith." You ever saw that, little faith? Earlier, what did he say? "How is it you had no faith?" But this time, what did he say to Peter? "You had little faith." I want to be honest with you. When I look at Peter on the water, I would say he had great faith. And many of us may say, "Oh, no." I'll tell you, that would take great faith. And yet, what did Jesus say? "Little." Oh, I would get that into my heart as I should. And look at that phrase, "Why did you doubt?" He took his eyes off the Lord. Now then, look at one last case. Look in the book of John in the 20th chapter. And in the book of John in the 20th chapter, you'll see that Jesus had been crucified upon the cross and raised from the dead. And on this occasion, Peter is fishing again. And here he is. And he's already denied the Lord. I'm sure his conscience has been bothered, even though he's wept bitterly. And in John 20, notice they're fishing in verse 3. Notice that the question is raised. It said again in verse 3, they went into the boat, immediately got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Here again reminds me of Luke 5. And notice in verse 5, Jesus said to them as he's on the seashore, "Children, have you any food?" "No." He says, "Cast your net on the right side and you'll find some." And notice what happens in verse 5. They cast out, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he'd removed it, and plunged into the sea. I love that. He's not worried about walking. You know what he wants to do? He wants to get to Jesus. He doesn't want anything to interfere with him getting to Jesus. and the other disciples, they come to the land in the boat and they bring in the fish. And notice it talks about the great fish. It talks about 153 that were caught. And you remember that it was on this occasion Jesus asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" Three times he denied he knew him before the cross. Now three times he's going to confirm his love. And think of the faith of Peter. Because the Lord told him, "You know what's going to happen? You're going to die serving me." And Peter said, "Well, what about John? What did Jesus say?" "You keep your eyes on me. What is that to you? You follow me." I want to take that. I want to make application in the lesson, yours. I want us to recognize three things tonight. The first thing I want us to recognize is that faith acts upon what God says. Even if it's inconvenient, even if it flies in the face of man's wisdom. I've had some people come to me and say, "Preacher, I don't see any sense in going down into some silly water. I don't understand why you think baptism is necessary." One reason, the Bible says it is. And just because man laughs at it and man calls it foolish, you remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians? Paul said that the wisdom of God is the foolishness of man. I'm sure that in the days of Joshua, they thought it was silly to march around the city of Jericho. And yet by faith, when they did what God said, God gave them the victory. I want us to understand, faith risks something. I put my action in the belief that is sustained by confidence that God will do exactly what He said He'd do. Secondly, Peter teaches us that faith can become weak and strong. You know, faith isn't always on an incline. Sometimes my faith can grow, and Peter tells us in 2 Peter 1:5 that our faith needs to grow. We need to be adding to our faith virtue and to our virtue knowledge and all these things. But I also recognize as my faith is growing, there's going to be times my faith can become weak. Faith's not an incline. Sometimes faith goes like that. There are times your faith can be strong and times our faith can be weak. Well, what causes our faith to become weak? We take our eyes off Jesus. We follow from afar and are distracted by the things around us. Have you ever thought about how many times we can become distracted? And I would tonight that we would recognize that one thing that will help our faith grow is if we remember the promises of God, if we remember our faith is going to be tested, and that we remember that we keep our eyes on Jesus, and that a lack of study, a lack of prayer, a lack of fellowship will cause us to have a weaker faith. You know what he said in 1 Peter 1? He talked about our faith, the genuineness of our faith being tested. I want us to understand tonight, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. God is not interested in a counterfeit faith. And there may come a time in your life where your faith may be all you have left. There are people in this country and around this world trying to destroy faith. I tell them, don't take that from me, because there have been times that's been all I've had all to hold on to. Faith won't let anything come between you and the Lord. Even the waters of baptism, you'll say, "Lord, you speak and I'll obey." And I think about Peter crying out, "Lord, save me." And he reached out for Jesus. Oh, I would tonight I could get people to reach out to that nail-scarred hand. A couple weeks ago, I took the boys over to the Laws to go swimming. And Sister Jan had gave them some kind of a float device where they could go into the deep end of the pool. Jackson put it on. Jackson dove in. There he went. Sam put it on. He was a little apprehensive, and that was fine. And we just kind of walked down a little bit, and we'd go back. And he finally looked at me, and he said, "Now, Daddy, if you go beside me, I'll keep going." We went into the deep part of the pool. Why? His father was there. You know what I've learned in life? I can go into the deep water. I can face the storms of life. Because my Heavenly Father's there. And when I don't understand it, when things are difficult, I know where I can lean and where I can put my trust. Isn't it wonderful that we put our faith in the Creator, and yet it's our Creator who wants to adopt us as His children and have us call Him Father. I have a question. Where's your faith? Is it growing? Is it weak? What can we do to help strengthen it tonight? If you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we pray you come.